welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook, and you might wonder why I was waving in such a strange manner. It's summer, everyone. Adam Carroll, how you doing?
Sweating non-stop. As an Irish man, this is not enjoyable.
We'll come back to that. Hold that thought. Mm-hmm. Christopher Hyde, how are you?
I'm moist in places I don't want to be moist, mate.
No, let's just stay there. when you say as an Irish man, what do you mean? Why is it different for you than?
Because we're not supposed to have this weather ever, really. Like, we don't have this heat.
It's the sun.
We don't have the sun. Yeah, we're like Scotland. It's always raining.
Well, I just assume you mean, you know, more that there's so many trees and lovely green areas, and you know, it's.
Look, I'm not. I think we can all agree here. We all like the sunshine. We all prefer the sunshine. Come on, the heat can go away, though. I would rather I would rather have the sun, but would have to wear winter clothes in it.
Sorry, say that again.
So you mean like a cool, crisp day, but it's sunny? Is that what you mean?
And I can go out wearing all my wintry kind of stuff.
Like, yes. So that's what I was going to ask. Like, why does it have to be... Well, hey, listen, you can either have glorious sunshine and be sweating, mm-hmm. or it's pissing down with rain. Why can't we just have like a, you know, it's not going to work on audio, but you know.
What we need is like a 20 degree cloudless sky, little bit of breeze.
Done. Delicious.
What Beautiful. Is your feeling, both of you, before we get into the video game portion of this video game podcast, what's your position on vests?
This is
dangerous because Mick Fraser wears vests. So we just...
Well, he looks good in a vest.
He looks, yeah. I think someone like me ends up looking like Rabsy Nesbitt.
This is the thing. Adam could pull off a vest. He's got tattoos. Yes.
No, I couldn't. I'm not talking
a string vest. Like a...
A tanky kind of thing.
Yeah, a vest. A white vest.
A thick kind of strap here.
Yeah, the thing, they have a name, but we can't say it these days. But yeah, I don't think.
But no, I would. I don't want it because, I don't want that. Like, do you know what I can't understand? Why vests are underneath a shirt?
Oh, that I've no idea, none whatsoever.
What's that about?
I assume that's granddad's being perpetually cold.
If you sweat, it just goes into the vest rather than the shirt.
Oh, yeah, but the thing is, that's a false economy. That's a false economy, right? Because I've been.
You're thinking too hard about your t-shirt. Then I feel.
Well, no. This is the thing: is that I've done this where I would wear an outer layer over a t-shirt in hot weather because the sweat doesn't show through. It's here. Trust me. This is a darker blue, but you don't see it because I'm wearing an outer layer. But it's a false economy because all you're actually doing is ensuring you definitely sweat mentally.
Yeah, because you get hotter because you've got more layers. Yeah.
But I did spend 1 year where I understood what it was like to feel the cold. And not to go, oh, I know how to take. After that, for 1 year, I had to take a certain tablet, which thinned my blood. And they warned me, you will get cold. You know, if you cut yourself, you'll piss blood. Like, it will. And it's still true because you've got thinner blood. And that 1 year was the first time I truly understood what it felt like to be cold. Because when it got cold, I was like, oh my God, I need, like, I want to put like a parka on. You know, I was freezing. I understood it. But that was for 1 year. Now. Mm. Look, I don't want to spend all of this podcast moaning about the heat, but fucking hell, it's hot.
It is hot.
And on that note, speaking of hot, I don't know. Chris Hyde, what have you been up to? We're saving the Adam Carroll. People know what's coming with it when it comes to Adam Carroll.
Yeah.
That sounds... Yeah. Everything I say sounds wrong now.
I think it sounds sexy, and I'm on board.
Deliciously perfect, yeah. So... The game that I've been playing, I don't think Adam Carroll has been playing, so we'll leave that one for later, is Death's Door.
Okay.
Which I know, Adam Cook, you've been playing a lot of. I've only played the first few hours of this game, first couple of hours, but I really like it. So for those that don't know, it's an isometric... and slash adventure, I guess you'd call it, a bit of RPG elements to it as well.
Yeah,
it's not a roguelike. It's RPG light. It's not a roguelike, so it's not like Hades, but you have got sort of similar vibes in sort of kind of the way the combat goes and things like that. But it's not a roguelike. So there is a set adventure with kind of, you know, set maps, set enemies, you know, so they can incorporate the challenge in the design rather than in the, I guess, in the randomness and the progression. But for me, there's a lot to like here. Firstly, the combat and movement feels very tight, which is always important with these types of games. You know, it feels responsive. If you do something wrong, it's because you're facing the wrong direction. It's not because there's an input lag or anything like that. So it feels very tight. So that's always a good start. I don't find myself often saying this, but I really like the level design and the way it works with a lot of, there's a lot of shortcuts that it unlocks as you go. Lots from what I've found already, where you'll progress a bit and then there'll be a shortcut so you can get there quickly next time, because you will, as you may have discovered from the title, die in this game. That's not to say that it's punishingly hard, because it actually isn't. It took a little while for me to actually die the first time, but the game knows that you will, and therefore doesn't want to punish you by saying, oh, now you've got to retrace your steps for 15 minutes to get back to where you were. There's always a shortcut.
I was curious, actually, speaking of that, Chris, if you picked up on something that I picked up on here, is that, you know how there's always a lot of sort of discourse around, like, the FromSoft games and like, oh, they should have an easy mode, they should have an easy mode. I felt like with Death's Door, what they'd done is they kind of incorporated the best of both worlds. Like you say, so you die and you don't lose any of your currency. The penalty for death is you died. So then you go back to the boss or the area that killed you. You don't lose anything. Because I kept expecting to be like, maybe once I get into the proper boss. No, you're never punished other than death. You die and so you're dead. And that's it. And I it made me again question whether, actually, why do I have to lose something when I die? The penalty for death is that you didn't progress.
Yeah, and
it always was. Why have we suddenly got this obsession with, oh, well, games must punish you for death? They always did. You died. That means you didn't progress. That was what dying meant in a game.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, obviously,
you'd get a game over screen. You know what I mean?
With FromSoft games, I guess, they were going for something different, but because of their popularity, people now
kind of expect everything to be like that. This has got elements of it, like you say, with the shortcuts.
There absolutely is, and you know, there absolutely is elements of that. But it's, the difficulty is nowhere near that level.
No, I did the first proper boss. Let's just say the witch's area. I did it first try, and I was so happy because it gave me a different kind of feeling that those games often don't, where I actually felt like I was kind of in control. And don't get me wrong, I died a lot on the way to the actual boss. There's certain areas where it just pummels you, but the actual boss, I felt like it gave me enough. It was really well designed. It gave me enough space. It gave me enough tools to do the job. It gave me the opportunity. Like, it didn't overwhelm me with, oh, she's got 300 moves and you have to study her. After the first progression, I could be like, right, she's going to do that. I can use this. It's told me that you can reflect projectiles back by hitting them, so I can use them. There's no health bar or anything.
No, but I like
that.
It's almost a bit sort of Monster Hunter-esque.
Yes.
Whereas, like,
yeah,
in
you
the
can
sense
see
that no health, you
tired.
Can see that they're deteriorating and that there's more. They've a lot of them. I don't know if this is true of all bosses, but like most of them have the pink stuff almost coming out, this pink light.
Yeah, they kind of start to crack up
more,
a bit. Yeah.
They crack up and there's like this pink light inside. So the more pink light you can see emanating from them, the closer they are to death. So, but yeah, I mean, on the bosses, that they are fair. Like and if you cock up, right, it's because you've cocked up. And like I found on the very first, what I'll call a boss, what is a mini boss. I think the one that's in some of the trailers, the spinny round one with the four arms.
Oh, the tutorial boss.
The tutorial boss. Like, I had been a bit, I can't remember if I went into the fight not on full health or something, but I would basically had messed about or made some errors, and I was on one health. There's only four health bars you've got. You can take four hits before you die.
You can level that up again, by the way, Zelda style.
Yeah.
Get four of this, and you can upgrade your health. And
yeah. But I only had one left, and I was literally on this one health bar for like three quarters of the fight, and I didn't get hit again, and I finished that mini boss first time. And there is an element, I mean, yes, it's the first boss, and I probably shouldn't have been down to one.
You see, because there's no health bar, I wondered if I was supposed to die. I didn't, but I wonder if you're supposed to die. I don't think you are.
No. Well, maybe. No, you're not. I mean, obviously, there's a mechanic that the game is designed about you going back and there being shortcuts and things. Mm. And there being these... The world is connected through these doors. It's a bit like, I guess, the nets and Demon Souls. Yeah, the way you go through a door and it takes you to a world, so you don't have to... They're basically warp points back to the start almost, and this sort of like Nexus place is where you can level up. So it is a bit Demon Souls-y in that sense. And yeah, you collect this currency in game that you don't lose on death, which then you can put it into your either your melee attack or your ranged attack or even like your speed and your ability to kind of dodge attack. So there is an element, it's not very detailed, but there's an element to saying where you want to prioritize your early points, like if you want to have stronger attacks or if you want to be able to be more flexible and dodge out of situations easier. So it's really, I find myself really enjoying it. One of those games I just didn't want to put down. Like this, I've only had a chance to have one like play through of it in terms of one session, but I didn't want to stop that session, if that makes sense. Like I found myself, the way it does it with all the shortcuts and stuff, you never feel like it's a trek to get back to where you were. So you naturally keep playing, and it's fair. So you never feel like it's cheating you. I've not got to an unfair bit yet. I'm sure there are a couple of them, but
the only time I had trouble was with the castle boss. Well, it's not a castle boss, it's the boss that looks like a castle, it's a door. It's called the door boss. That one really did me in, but I was trying to rush it. The other bosses I've all done first time. I've died more in the world. Do you ever play Monument Valley?
No,
it's a good game, Ads, isn't it?
Oh, it's so good.
Like, I don't know if you're seeing good from the visuals. It gives me that kind of vibe as well, the isometric.
Yeah.
I don't think I caught it in like any of this footage, but there's like certain secrets that like you find by going off the beaten track. And as you do so, you'll like walk under a bridge and then the camera will swing round cinematically to be like, oh, look, there's a little nook and cranny you found and there's an item. And then you walk back and it swings back into the same view you had the rest of the game. And it's so like... I can't believe... I mean, there's many elements of this that I can believe this is the makers of Titan Souls. But at the same time, like, I could not have wanted... What they've done is they've taken Titan Souls and... I mean, this is what I wanted with that game, really. And that was a good game. It was very difficult. It was just a boss battle game, really, wasn't it? Whereas this is not... I really like this is a contender for me. Like, this is like you said, Chris. Ooh. Like I couldn't stop playing it. Like it's a seriously good video game.
It's a good balance, I think. It's not ridiculously hard, but there is enough challenge there. Like if you cock up, you'll run out of health very quickly. Like if you don't pay attention.
If you sort of play yourself as a little bit like if you don't take your time and if you rush things, you'll very quickly destroy yourself. Like they will punish you for that. Like it is a game that asks you to, hey, maybe you need to think about your actions and don't just go smashing into things. Maybe you need to, you know. It's also clever because you spot things like the footage people are seeing right now. Like I'm smashing away at this urn thing, and it's like you know that does something. You do. You see it, and you're like, this is definitely something. And it's kind of got that Metroidvania thing to it where you then get a thing which lets you activate those things. And you're like, oh, like watching this footage back, I noticed a cobweb in a little room that I haven't actually gone back to. I was like, oh, I can get there now. Do you know what I mean? Like it's definitely that. It's definitely got elements of that kind of, like, Ad, you will absolutely love this. It kind of reminds me of Bastion a little bit, the way it's laid out.
Reminds me a little bit of Zelda.
Old
school Zelda, like there'll be things where, you know, you've got to beat all the enemies in the room to get through the door, or you've got a light thing, like torches and stuff.
What about those rooms? Well, I'm not going to spoil it, but there's rooms where you get, like, you act to, it sort of teaches you a power, and then later there's a room where you get that power. Again, a bit like Zelda, like where you go in and open the chest, sort of like that. It's involving a chest. You've done one of these, right? Oh no, have you?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Man, they're so good. Like, there's this—I won't spoil it—but when you get the powers after each level, the music that kicks in is incredible, and it's like, wow.
That's what I was
going to
ask. What's the music like? It looks terrific. Like it's going to have a good old soundtrack.
Yeah,
it's good.
No, there's not a lot about this game that I can It's a little bit slow moving, but you can upgrade your movement speed. So,
I was just thinking that as well. I was like, I wonder, can you get faster?
Yeah, you can. And it's not one of those games where, like, because you can roll about as well, it's dodge rolls.
Yeah.
But, like, so that, it's not one of those games where, oh, if you've done dodge roll, you're going to have to have a rest for 40 minutes to do dodge roll.
You can actually increase how quickly you can dodge roll as well.
Yeah, so one of the upgrades, which I did very quickly, was, like, it shortens the amount of time until you do another one. So that you can roll about and be more flexible, which helps, obviously, when there's lots going on or a boss battle. So, yeah, I find it doesn't drag. Because, like I say, with the shortcuts and the reasonably fast movement and the warping, there's very little downtime. There's very little wasted time. You're always progressing, and you always are progressing as well, because you'll get this currency just by beating enemies. A bit like Dark Souls, but much smaller scale.
Yes.
And even if you are dying on a particular bit, you'll have got a few more of this currency, which might tip you over the edge to another upgrade to help you out. You know, there's always a bit of progression, even if you are dying a lot, so it never feels wasted. I can't wait to carry on playing
I haven't played it for a few days now, and I want to go back and finish it, because it genuinely has the feel of one of those to me where it's like, this needs to be discussed further. What else have you been playing, Chris? I mean, I know the answer. I don't know why I pretend every week. I should just say, hey, Chris, talk about your next game.
Talk about this now. So I've been playing Skyward Sword HD as well this week. Obviously, we talked a bit about it last week because, Adam, you'd reviewed it. But I've been playing it this week. Put about 12, 13 hours into it. So a decent chunk to know enough about what's going on, but nowhere near finishing the game. So it's a bit crap, isn't it?
It's the
worst Zelda. I said last week, I haven't, obviously, it's the only 3D Zelda game I've never finished. But I was really keen to give this a try, because a few of the reasons why I didn't finish it have been attempted to be addressed by Nintendo. So Fee was one of them. The motion controls, obviously a controller option now. So I was really keen to give it a go and see, actually, am I just shitting on something that I'm missing out, right? And I know if I ask Adam Carroll that, he'll say, yes, you are, you're being an idiot, so I need to get on it. So I've been playing the HD version completely with a controller, so no motion controls whatsoever. Really? If I'm honest, I felt that the motion controls frustrated me in the Wii version, because I always felt not only was it a bit dodge on the old diagonals, even with the Wii Motion Plus. I felt like sometimes, unless you're going like horizontal or vertical,
it never felt properly.
Yeah,
one
it didn't.
To one, and not quite.
And I always also felt that there was enough lag, particularly with the fact that obviously most of the combat is based around it. So you'll get enemies that will hold up a sword to block you, or you know, if you hold your sword to the right, they'll hold up a block, so you can't then attack them. The idea is you hold it out there and then go, oh no, but it's coming around that way. I felt with the lag of the swinging of the Wiimote, they'd sometimes come back before I'd have a chat. And I'm like, well, hang on, that's not my fault. Like, I've done it. So not only would it sometimes get the wrong direction, but sometimes it would be a bit delayed. So I was like, can't be doing with that faff. My reflexes weren't what they were 10 years ago anyway, so let's go with the controller. Plus, I also wanted to see... I wanted to measure this game on its merits, not being constrained by that motion control. Like, how good is this game when it's released from those shackles? So the first thing I think that we have to talk about is the way that they've overcome it, which is basically you hold the L button, the shoulder button, and move the right stick to move the camera.
Hang on. Before we get too far down this path, we did talk previously to going live, where Adam said he was about 4 hours in. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious... Before we talk about the motion and non-motion controls, what are you doing?
So I'm just going to say straight out that, like, okay, I'm going to just hit the points of what I think so far. I think the visuals look fantastic.
No, but I mean, are you playing?
Oh, in terms of buttons,
yeah. What are you playing?
Oh, I'm using the buttons as well.
You are okay.
Yeah, and I tell you why, because when I booted it up, I was like, all right, let's do Joy-Cons here and. Let's just go with that first, and then I'll move over the buttons. Took it out, my right Joy-Con was dead.
What?
And I was just
battery
like,
or dead?
Battery was dead.
Okay.
And I was like, that's just weird. I know. So I was like, buttons there. So I went down the buttons and I was like, all right, cool, let's go with this. And I have not once tried motion yet. No, I have said before that I've played this entirely on the Wii.
Valid.
So I've gone through the whole motion thing. I've yet to just see how it's improved on in
well,
this book.
What you're missing out on essentially is that with the motion now, you've got two sticks so you can control the camera with the right, your right hand. That's the only difference.
Yeah, which
you can
like,
do.
I'll be honest. That thing is not, it's not bothering me. It's
not at all.
The only thing that's bothering me is when I am going to control the camera, it is so sensitive.
Oh, I
turned,
see, I changed that. It's got sensitivity settings.
No, in terms of like, no, I'm saying like when you hit the right hand, like, and Link takes out the sword.
Oh,
like sometimes
you constantly have that sword out. For me, you almost always get the sword out because it's...
I like putting
your brain
it away
goes for the
like
right stick.
Do my thing.
No, I'm with you, but what I mean is like your brain, you are trained now to go to the right stick for a camera. So you go right stick, then you press the left bumper because you go to move the camera and then your brain instantly...
Yeah.
Because it isn't natural. Yeah. It isn't a natural
It isn't. And I'll be honest. You're right. Exactly right. My brain was like, okay, I want to move the camera. Like, literally didn't even think, you know, and it was sort of bloody swords out.
It's not a problem, by the way. I should say. It sounds like I'm complaining. Like,
no,
you just press B and put it away.
When I first had to do it, because obviously it's the game, it was like, oh, this is gonna piss me off after a few hours having to hold L every time. But having played the amount of hours I have, it doesn't bother me at all now. I'm with you, Adam, that I can't think of a better way because your sword is always out.
Yeah.
And your sword needs to be the focus.
Built around you using a sword the time for everything, really.
The game isn't built around you having to move the camera. It's literally designed in the opposite way so that you don't have to use the camera. Yeah. So, you know, it's great that you can because you don't have to rely on, I'll just put it behind me or whichever angle it happens to be at. But I find myself much more now, like, I'm glad it's this set up this way around because I'd hate to have to hold L to get my sword out every time. Yeah. That would wind me up
that
more
if
it was the
other
way around. So
that
I'm,
would force
I'm
me to play motion controls all
the
way.
So and I will say, not having to do motion controls for flying or for the beetle, I'm well happy with that.
And that's what eventually tipped me over the edge because I'm obviously reviewing it. It's like I've got to try both. And I actually do like the motion controls, but what tipped me over the edge and genuinely is why I didn't give it a 10 is because I would like to be able to play motion controls, but when I get the beetle out, use that left stick. There's no reason not to because Link is static.
Historically with the Wii remote, I'm really uncomfortable here because you're making me do... And sometimes and it's because there, even in the dungeon where you get it, there's some like twisty tunnels.
Yeah,
you have to go around.
It's arguably the worst place to use it.
Yeah, and you're just like, this is uncomfortable. And again, in the sky, that, you know, if you've got to suddenly go, oh my god, there's a whirlwind. I've got an escape maneuver. You know, it can be difficult.
Well,
so
the bombs as well. Like, I feel like the bombs, using the bombs just with the up and down stick, it feels. Not that actually throwing them isn't intuitive, because, I mean, it literally is throwing a bomb. But just pressing the button, pressing up or down, and then moving the left stick to where you want to aim it feels incredibly intuitive. I don't know, Vad, have you got to the bomb stuff yet?
Yeah.
So do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's...
I found, and I can't remember how intuitive I found it with the Wii remote, but I remember when I got to the bomb bit, I was like, oh, there's too many things to press here and think about. I can't do it. Now, though... After doing it for a little while,
I can't even.
It sounds like the worst brag in the world, but I don't get it wrong now, right? Like, it's literally second nature.
Do you know what I do get wrong? And I actually meant to ask someone this. What the hell am I doing wrong with that damn net?
So I found with the net, just from back in the day, 10 years ago, the way I do it is literally just hold it up vertically.
Okay, and then just
and approach,
drop it.
And then down.
Okay.
Now, so that's how I... Don't get me wrong. If that doesn't work... And then just flail it like a man.
But that's what I feel like I do. I feel like I'm just flailing it around, and eventually it catches them. I don't know if that's
because some of them, like,
I kind of like it though. By the way, I kind of like how stupid it looks. It looks really stupid, and I'm because I just I'm here for it. You know what I mean? I think I look at that and I'm like, that makes me smirk every time.
Yeah.
I've had a week to think about this. I think this is one of my fucking favorite Zeldas now.
So, okay, so
It's fucking gorgeous 10 years later. How does a 10-year-old game look this good?
So, I'm not there yet.
Not yet, okay.
I've played 12. For me, and I need to see how much this irks as I go on, it constrains what it does, you know, to basically three-ish, like the three areas that it has, it basically reuses. It has ideas about how to reuse them. I won't go into it because I know people haven't played it. But it has ideas of how to reuse those areas, which are interesting. Are they interesting? The point that I question is, are they interesting to the point of that's really clever, or is that a little bit lazy? And I feel like I go more towards the latter, that I feel like I'd want more variety. I think I want.
But do you
I'll see.
Just
when
enjoy
it gets
being
to it.
In this world, because that's something I found.
I don't enjoy being in that world as much as other Zelda worlds, and that's what I was saying.
But
last
I mean,
week.
What are we comparing to here? What are we talking? We're talking Breath of the Wild, because like, if you are, fair enough.
No, I find Twilight Princess is more
engaging.
Now
Twilight Princess is the one for me now, where I'm like, it's really left me this game going. I might need to see if I can find my copy of that.
But it's like, for me, it's like I said to you, I find Wind Waker's Great Sea more engaging than the Sky area.
Wind Waker's a cracker. Like, there's no.
There's two like that are games that I think are better, and I feel like, and that's not, they're not even my favourite Zelda.
No, so it's like we said before, like the worst Game of Thrones episode is better than most.
Yeah, it's not a bad game. I would not have put in 13 hours in
a weekend.
Into this game if it was crap. Even I'm not that weird. Like, it's still really, really good. I think the other thing for me that I am still a bit undecided about is, if I was playing a different Zelda game, how far would I be with 13 hours of playing a Zelda game in another Zelda game? Like, I feel there's a fair amount of padding still in this game. Things take longer to do.
And
this is kind of a,
and I don't know how I feel about that, because like, the only niggle in the back of my mind against that argument is Breath of the Wild, which is literally like, God knows where I was after.
But you could make an argument that Breath of the Wild is just padding, because you can finish that game in 2 hours.
That's what I mean.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. That's the counterpoint to me, is like, do I care about that as much now?
That's what I'm finding. I don't. It didn't bother me.
I certainly don't sit there thinking you're taking the piss too much.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do feel like some things, I'm like, okay, I don't need to do this, but you're making me a little bit, like, there's a section probably about 10 hours in, and it's a little bit of a go here to find that,
I know,
then
exactly
go here
the
to
bit
then
you're
find that
about.
And then go ahead, and I'm like,
you're
why
talking about when you
jump?
Have to go back to Skyloft and all we'll say is windmills, aren't you?
Yes.
And then you have to go back down.
But then,
after
the windmills is also another bit of that. Mm-hmm. Before you then go to actually do the thing you want to do.
Yeah, which is continue the story. Yeah, yeah.
Which is continue the adventuring. And it's cool. It's cool. And I'm not like I say, I'm not sitting there going, I was really disappointed playing it.
It's maybe of its time. That bit you're talking about is maybe of its time. It's the only time where you feel like this is a 10-year-old game.
Yeah, but like I say, I'm saying that to counter the points that you guys are saying, which is this the best Zelda? Not that I think this is bad or in any way, I'm loving this.
I think it's just for me because it's so new. Like, I cannot stress enough, Adam, I'm one of them people. I really didn't get on with this game. And now I'm absolutely in love with it.
It seems to be there. There's a lot of people who are coming around to this, which is what I was hoping for. There's just the things of, like, not in any way disagree with what you're saying, Chris, regarding the padding. That is truly how you feel about it. That's your opinion, obviously. But I don't know any other 3D Zelda that doesn't really not offer that anyway. Like, the padding is off. Like, nearly every 3D Zelda, you're still having to go and get chickens and shit and put them in their coop. And Do you know, there's all that kind of stuff that goes on all the time.
Yeah, and it's I think it's that for me, it's the type of padding. It felt very much go here.
That question about those things.
But
in Wind Waker, sure, like what to do at the end of Wind Waker, you have to get all those.
And believe me, the end.
And that's just like, oh,
that
God.
That bit of Wind
also,
Waker
let's
is,
not to
worse.
Shit on Wind Waker, because like, I would actually. I mean, this has put me in a proper Zelda place. Do you know, I don't know if it's just me.
Wind Waker here, and
Wind Waker. Yeah, what was that dungeon? There was a dungeon there was issues with, and it's a long time ago. Was it a water? No, that was Ocarina. There was a temple in or something in Wind Waker that you could literally soft lock or mess up, and they patched it or something happened. I'm really nagging at me about something. But yeah, like I when people were talking about and at some point they will release Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess on Switch, I was like, tomorrow, please?
What I will say is, and as much as I love Breath of the Wild and I can't wait for Breath of the Wild 2,
if you could wipe my memory of a game and let me experience it fresh, I think it's Breath of the Wild. I'm going to have to start that game again,
That Breath of the Wild's great. What this has scratched an itch for, and it's so lovely, is that almost like kind of Zelda as it used to be before Breath of the Wild.
100%,
I was like, fucking hell, I love these games. Like, not that I don't like Breath of the Wild, but like, and Breath of the Wild 2 will be more Breath of the Wild, but if they release a Zelda game more like this, I'm like, yeah, get in. Like,
it's the Mario 3D and 2D thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
where they've kind of almost exhausted the Mario 2D, what they could actually do, so went, fuck it, Mario Maker, make your own levels, and then went into Odyssey, and you're like, what? Please give us Odyssey 2. And Zelda feels, I mean, they did literally go 2D, 3D as well, but they went so far with 3D that they then released Breath of the Wild, which just switched things up again. That was unintentional. Mm. You know, changed things up. But it almost feels like there is room for both styles, don't you think?
Oh,
but would
absolutely.
You be against it if they announced, look, Breath of the Wild 2 is coming out, but after that, because they've done Link Between Worlds remastered, they've done that. Link's Awakening. It wouldn't surprise me if they were like almost testing the waters to see if people wanted. Yes, I mean, clearly they know. They know Breath of the Wild's popular. That's why they're making a sequel or whatever it is. It wouldn't surprise me if they were thinking, oh, shit, we could make another 2D one and we could probably make another one. Well,
give me Minish Cap. Oh, my God.
Wouldn't be against it.
But I just want to say with Skyward very quickly as well that, like, what blows my mind is prior to this HD release, so many people would have said, oh, Skyward, it's such a slog. It takes hours to get going, blah, blah, blah. That is total bullshit.
I have to hold my hand up. I remember it like that, and I was stunned when I was reviewing it. I was like,
straight away.
But that's because they've changed it. So it did take a longer time to get going. Not as much as people said. No, and like Twilight Princess was much worse.
Yes.
People were saying six to seven hours and stuff.
I remember it like that. But I remember it like that, and I'm wrong. Like I'll put my hand up and say it wasn't.
Like you get to go on a laugh wing and have a race and stuff like within the first hour. Like, and these are kind of like their highlights of that game, and that's kind of what it's going for. Mm. It obviously, like, the blueprint of Breath of the Wild is there in it. That's something that's really just stood out as well.
And
it makes me truly realize that, like, I really hope Breath of the Wild 2 goes into dungeons again, because.
Yeah.
Dungeons are important. They're important, and I think Skyward Sword has amazing dungeons. I've said that always, but like, I like it. I just think it's like, it's a special part of Zelda. Not to say I wouldn't if they didn't do it. I wouldn't be raging or anything like that.
I mean, I'd still argue the worst part of Breath of the Wild is the big dungeons. Still good. But like.
Yeah.
I've got weird expectations for Breath of the Wild. I keep calling it Breath of the Wild 2 because we don't know what it's called.
It's gonna pull a Majora's Mask. I still stand by that.
I think it has to.
It's gonna do something. It's gonna try a mechanic that people are not gonna like.
This is the thing, though. I just wonder, like, if you just released Breath of the Wild 2 and it's just more Breath of the Wild, I'm sure all three of us would absolutely take that.
But no, then, I'm giving you the tense right away.
No, but what I'm saying is, after a little while, like when you'd finished it, I think you would sit back and go, that's kind of a bit of a shame, isn't it? Because all this stuff they showed with Breath of the Wild to then just, fuck it, we'll do it again.
Yeah, yeah.
Would be a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's left me in a situation where I just don't know what I want from that game. I don't really know what it is. I mean, I'd seen those little snippets where you kind of look, it looks like Breath of the Wild, but running better, looking prettier. Basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, what do you want from it? I don't know anymore.
I also have to say that, like, I can't help but feel Nintendo did such a dirty with that Laughwing amiibo. When I'm playing this now, that's the one thing. It's the one thing that's really standing out to me as I'm playing. I'm like, God damn, if I had that amiibo, I'd really welcome just to just go back up to the...
Really? I never found that.
I've got it and I haven't used it.
It's only because I've been through the game and I just know what to expect. And like, I enjoy flying around the place. To be honest, I enjoyed flying the Laughwing with the motion controls. I genuinely did. No, sometimes it was like, wow, I'm 25 hours in, I am drained from the motion. But like, I just feel like Nintendo doing what they've done with that amiibo, it's dirty. And I think like if there was ever an amiibo to like become as impossible to get, and I know that's their game and I know it's their market and that's what it's all about, this is not the one to do that to, because it's just like, you know, Nintendo just have, we go on about for ages, like Nintendo just never sometimes want to give the fans what they want. And then when they like go, like Skyward Sword already was a game before release that we're just saying that people already shat on or would say it's a slog and all this jazz. And then they lock off this mechanic that they introduced through an amiibo. It's just like, no, Nintendo. This is a black mark for ye.
All
you
I would say is I haven't used it and I have got it. In the chat, it's not in this room. In the chat,
can you send it to my house?
Beatpunk, no. He says it's much. He's answered his own question. Why was it so expensive? It's because it's much bigger than a usual amiibo. It's not that much bigger, by the way, because the two amiibo I've had delivered this month, I bought the Monster Hunter Ratha one, and that's not much smaller. It's not much smaller. It is smaller.
That's a nice looking one, though. I quite like that one.
No, again, it's another nice one. But I would argue, you know, like, you can't quite see it on the shelf behind me, but the Yoshi's Woolly World one, the one that's actually a big...
That's huge.
Oh, that was quality.
So, like,
are you back on the wagon, then? Because that's two.
Yeah, because I the ones I wanted to get I've forgotten his bloody name, from Monster Hunter Stories 2, the cat. Completely forgot the name of
the Palico. Oh, what's his? Oh, god,
not the good cat, the other cat, the sneaky spy cat. But that one,
I
didn't realize there was an amiibo for that because I wasn't Monster Hunter Stories 2 wasn't on my radar, because it just felt like it was a spin off. And then when I played it and I realized I loved it, for some reason I'd already ordered the Ratha one, which must suggest that, I probably am back on the wagon. But I really like the cat one, I'm really gutted I couldn't get it. I think I'm on the wagon, but only as much as I'll get the ones I like, which is most of them, but not all of them.
Okay.
Adam Carroll.
Adam Cook.
At the risk of quoting Martin McCutcheon, this is your moment. This is your...
Perfect.
Moment.
Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice.
Awful bag of shite game, right?
Awful bag of shite. This is my first ever From Software game that I've ever finished.
Wow.
It just is.
I didn't know that. I didn't know you hadn't finished others.
Never finished a... No, to be fair, prior to this, the only two I would have put a lot more time into would have been Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3.
I thought you'd finished Bloodborne.
No, I did not. Because it was just like... I don't even know where I ended up giving up on that game. It's not like, I understand that game is probably the best From Software game and all that jazz, but Sekiro was my first ever one, and I don't know how it happened. I just don't know, because that game is fucking something else. That was some experience, and honestly, I couldn't believe how well I was doing in it. Now, I'm not going to mention that final boss. I am not mentioning its name, because I feel like it is a spoiler in a sense, but my word. I think it took me, Chris, I don't know how long it took you, man, but that boss at the end took me at least 50 to 60 attempts.
I would say it's about the same for me, to be honest.
I was broken.
In my head. Yeah. The thing is, I can't even remember how many sessions, because it gets to the point where you have to kind of go, I need to have a break.
Yeah.
And come back to it. So, it must have been about that, if not more. It was a lot.
Yeah, so straight out the bat, I'm going to say that I think the story is so good. I think the story is quality. The lore in it is quality. I know Bloodborne offers the same thing. Probably a lot of the Souls games do as well. But Sekiro's whole story is really cool. And, Jesus, some of the bosses are, some of them are kind of hilarious. Like, there's one boss in particular that, honestly was not a boss. Like, I can just say it to you off chat, Chris, whatever. But, I looked up online afterwards and everyone was like, yeah, you just don't get hit by that boss. It's super weird that they throw these kind of things in.
Oh, yeah, I know which one. Yeah.
You'll know which one I'm on about, definitely. Yeah. So do you know when they announced the game first and they showed us gameplay and it was that corrupted monk was, on the bridge? Remember with all the flowers he was spinning around? That's so late into the game.
Yeah.
When you come across
I really struggle with that boss as well.
Oh my God.
Which one? What was that?
Corrupted monk
in...
I've seen all of this game, so watch people speedrun.
Fountainhead Palace,
that's it, yeah.
He was tough going as well. He comes at you something fierce. But that last boss, lads, honestly, the victory happened at 3:30 last week. I can't even remember what day it was. 3:30 in the morning. I'd work at 7. And, honestly... it got so intense with the heat that's going on currently and just that game's final boss.
You were climbing.
I was on edge. And then I couldn't really sleep because I was so buzzed after the bloody thing. But it was such a challenging game. I don't know where it sits, obviously, because it's my first ever From Software game. Chris, you finished this game. Have you finished the previous From Software games? Where does Sekiro rank in difficulty? That's what I want to know, because
Sekiro for me is a really interesting one, because I feel like Sekiro is one of the hardest ones to get into, and then I found with it that I got into a bit of a groove, but the middle bit I found I got what it was trying to do. I'd got the parrying stuff a bit down and how to kind of combo with the kind of the firecrackers and all that sort of stuff. In fact, you got my little setup, and I found I could, with obviously practice, get through bosses, and we've talked through some of them already in last week and this week. But then I feel like I can't think of another one that goes quite so high again right at the end. It feels so it's difficult because I don't remember taking that long for the final boss of another From Software game. Any of the Dark Souls or Bloodborne, I don't think it was that felt like that much of a slog to finish the final boss. But then I actually feel like some of the other, the middle parts of some of those games are harder, if that makes sense, than I felt.
Some of the mini bosses are shitty.
Yeah.
They just are. I will say I was so nervous, when I was coming, to the end of this fight, the last fight, and I was really afraid I was going to do that whole thing of surprise, I have one more life thing, do you know, I really was, because I was this is too good to be true. But it was very funny, I think at the end I had so the last, without saying the name of the boss, there's four rounds, there's four full rounds, and first round I was not you again, no way. And then he destroyed me over and over and over, and then that became just a piece of piss every time I boot up the game. That's the genius of these games, I know that. But I was this is just quality. Got through him fine, but I was doing so well on my second last attempt, just before the final one that I beat him on, and got to the fourth round and I had 9 health things left. They were not left, but I had 9 in total stocked up. And when I got to the last round, I had 1 left. And I shit the bed, lads. There was at least this much left, and he got me. And I was I was sitting there. The controller couldn't even stay in my hands anymore because there was so much sweat. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know. I think I need to leave. I need to go to the moon. I need to just go to the moon and have a moment with myself, and that's just that. So I went one more time, and that was the time I beat him. And I honestly thought that that feeling will never be topped for me. I know that, once again, this is what they do. This is what the games are about. But the whole game itself, I think, is a 10 out of 10. I think it's an absolutely incredible looking game. It looks amazing. And then just the traversal, everything works well. And it's kind of crazy to know that they did this. Like, it's such a change. Because, as I said, I've played the other ones. And I'm so excited to see what Elden Ring's going to bring.
Well, this is what I was going to say.
What are they going to do?
Because they're surely not going to go back to tank controls, you know, really bad, maneuverability. I don't think they're going to go to Bloodborne extremes of, just, jumping around bits. But I also don't think they're going to go back around to your character moves like a shopping trolley. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be your horse definitely doesn't move like that. But
they can fly by the looks of it.
Yeah. So I feel like it probably will be somewhere in the middle. And I'm all up for that because I really enjoyed Sekiro, but it felt very different, obviously. But whilst it obviously there is loads of similarities, but it very much felt like a different type of From Software game, and I like that. And that doesn't always have to be the exact same formula that makes a good From Soft game. And I really enjoyed Sekiro as well. So
when you get back to the end of that game and you go to the Ashina outskirts and stuff and you see what's going on, I was just like, this is so cool. This is so, so cool. And it's so terrifying. And I'm just not up for going down to all these people. It just really, one of my favorite things I have to say about the game, and it's something that if Elden Ring did this, I'd be so on for it. I love that it's just the one sword. I love the one weapon thing. For me, that's just my major problem with previous games of this developer is that I always feel like, am I putting the skill points into the right area? Am I using the right weapon? All this shit. I don't roll as amazing with it, and I don't have a whole pile of patience for it. But Sekiro was just it's the one difficulty, it's the one weapon. Yes, you have your little bits and bobs you can use, buffs and stuff, and you have your prosthetic arm, grind, but it's still your one sword. That, to me, to accomplish that in the whole game with the challenge that it's at stake, it's super cool. Super, super cool. And one of the coolest things From Software have done, personally, from what I've seen anyway. So Elden Ring is going to be crazy curious, but I do stand by thinking that it's going to be a Shadow of the Colossus kind of job. I do think it's going to be that.
It could be.
Phenomenal game. I started a new game plus. Bring it on.
Crazy man. Okay. Shall we do some listener correspondence?
Absolutely.
Lyle, but Irish and misanthropic. I can't remember which person that is in our Discord. They're all still called Lyle. And he says, why is it so fucking hot? And I have a reply to him saying, what is it and why are you touching it?
fair counter questions.
He also wants to know, what's your favourite Mega Man game?
None.
We talked about this question before we started.
How many of them are there? 10? 11?
No, there's way more. There's a lot more than that now. I tried.
You have had that many chances?
I've tried so hard.
I bought that Legacy Collection and everything. It goes, here we go. Mega Man, you and me are going to get on great. Oop, you're shit.
Can't do it.
Sorry.
Chris Hyde, what's your excuse?
Wankers.
I'm shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Good music, though.
Yeah. Lyle. He also wants to know, a lot of people who have never owned a gaming PC seem to be interested in the Steam Deck. Any picks for PC-only titles that console gamers may have missed out on through the years? Bonus points is always for Croc, especially, on emulators, which will run on the Steam Deck. Every MMO, basically.
Yeah.
I don't see it as something that is... Death Store, right? You don't have an Xbox. Okay, but if you were to get an Xbox or a Steam Deck, which would you go for right now?
Oh, I don't know.
Would
I'll be honest?
Steam Deck.
Probably the Xbox. I'm brutally honest. Like Steam, the Steam Deck isn't like blowing my mind. I don't know what it is.
It's a dockable PC that you can handheld.
I understand what it is.
You can run Game Pass on it, so you could get Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, it's good for that. Yeah.
You wouldn't need an Xbox, and Microsoft themselves would say you don't need an Xbox. Just get Game Pass.
Steam Deck looks ugly. I think it just looks pretty. I don't know. It doesn't look appealing to me. The thing of it sounds cool, but like, I don't know. I really have to see one of those things. Like, look, it's coming out. Like, when's it coming out?
December-ish. Depends how many they.
December, and then like you got that Switch which is a completely like OLED. Just not at all different. Like, it's just not matching up to the same thing. If you had to pick one or the other, I think it's just don't. Like I'm just a Nintendo fan, so I'm just going for the other thing. But like, a Steam Deck is something where I'm like, I think I'd rather wait to see where it's going to go. Or what other model down the line will come? Because as it stands, I just don't like how it looks, and I think there's going to be some problems with it. Maybe not. Maybe I'm completely wrong in that. But
maybe.
Do you know?
I mean, the question is: are there any PC only titles? There's not a lot that these days that is only PC. I would say MMOs and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the thing. Yeah,
you can play stuff like. Hang on, I'm gonna load my Steam library up. Go on, Chris.
I was just gonna say, for me, it's less about what is the PC exclusive, but there might be games where I'd rather play, like Monster Hunter Stories 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My options are handheld but runs like arse.
Yeah.
On occasion, versus sitting at a monitor but runs better. If I can get the best of both, for me, it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Than saying. Oh, but I can only get Monster Hunter Stories 2 on PC. It's less about that. It's all the things I can get on PC, probably running better, and I can also do it on the toilet. That's the winner for me.
So I've had a look like in my Steam library. I don't have that many games installed because I find like it just you know takes up so much space. Immediately, yeah. Black Skylands is a really fun game. I think that's PC only for now. Noita is a fantastic game, PC only for now. If you want to play Psychonauts, the original, with a full sort of widescreen aspect ratio, PC. Rogue Legacy 2 is early access, PC. Teardown, Valheim, they're just the ones on Steam I'm looking at right now. I don't think, you know, right, none of them would marry Odyssey. But the question is about PC games, and they exist. Matt King, I've been struggling with the controls on Skyward Sword, but want to push on to experience the game. Are there any games that have tried to push you away in a similar way, but you still saw through? Tough one. Mario Galaxy.
What you struggle with that?
I never liked. I did not like the Wii's controller.
Mario
Galaxy
is
not true.
I loved the little wank you did when you went through one of those warp star things.
Hated it.
Oh yeah, that was good. Wind it up. Yeah, I love that. I'm trying to think.
That was fun.
Yeah. But I didn't see that through. That
which one? Sorry.
The Last Guardian.
The Last Guardian.
Oh, I did finish Axel's review.
I'd rather stare into a dark nappy. I really tried to
as well. Like I was like, no. This is just it's being quirky. I tried to, but I just couldn't. In the end, I was like, no, sorry, this is annoying me
that
too much.
Damn cat, horse, dog thing. Yeah. Whatever the hell it was. What a fuck.
Trico, whatever it's called, could piss off. Trico, Trico.
Like every time I was looking at him, going, "You're actually the biggest dickhead." Like, come on.
Just sticking his head in a wall. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. He just pop his head in. You're like, oh, you're so annoying.
I suppose that would be one for me too. I did finish it because I was reviewing it, I think, for Games Master. Finish it, and I did force myself through it, and I didn't like it very much. So
Here's one. And it's controversial enough, but I thought it was a big steamer. And that game was Kingdom Hearts 3.
I didn't play enough of it to.
No.
That gummy ship can go off a tree.
Never even that far.
Terrible.
I'm trying to think because, like, literally, Zelda Skyward Sword wound me up enough for me to not push through it.
Well,
so
that,
think,
yeah,
like,
that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a game where I've actually gone through that barrier, because normally if it's so annoying, then I'm like, nah, no. But I'm trying to think if there is one that I've stuck with.
Do you know what one was absolutely diabolical, but I got through it, but I was like, that was such a waste of time, was Alien Colonial Marines.
What a bad game.
Exactly.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bad game.
Terrible.
Bad game.
Yeah. But there's good games. There's good games as well that are just hard. Huh?
It's just a question that makes us angry, because we're just like, oh, that.
Yeah. Well, that's it, I think. On that note, thank you very, very much indeed for watching, for listening, for supporting. If you're on Patreon.com, you can follow us on Twitter at God Is A Geek. You can go to Patreon.com/GodIsAGeek, as I say, for all the stuff there, the exclusive content, extra free codes, Discord. It's all there. Make sure if this is the first time you've seen a podcast, you click that little subscribe button and give us a little like if you can. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you want us to talk about. Leave us any questions, and we'll look back from this week's episode to next week. That's about it. Adam, Chris, thank you for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
And everybody else, we will speak to you next week, where we'll probably talk about EA Play. Maybe. But yeah, we'll speak to you next week, or whenever you choose to listen. Let's all go away and have a nice cold shower. Bye for now.